Good morning. Coming up on 8:45, the 2019 General Assembly session is over, and the veto session was held recently as well. Joining WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me live in studio once again is 11th District Delegate Sam Rasool to talk about winds and the atmosphere in Richmond this year. Sam, it is a pleasure to see you. Welcome back.
Great to be with you, Joey. Thanks, Gene.
All right, Sam, before we dive into the General Assembly session, you are speaking tonight at a Green New Deal town hall meeting. It's at Pilgrim Baptist Church. Sam, where do you stand on the Green New Deal? Do you see the bill as written as a blueprint to zero carbon emissions, Sam, or more as a set of aspirational goals?
Well, right now it's written as a resolution, so there is no bill before us. But in the resolution, it does talk about a variety of goals. I think it's a wonderful way to not only talk about, you know, climate change, but really to talk about how we can uplift middle-class America. And so when you try to merge those two, the inequities, the growing distance between the have and have-nots with the clear danger that we have read from the Trump administration, which has come down with this new report back in November saying we've got about 12 years to act, it's clear to me we've got to create this new vehicle, and hopefully the Green New Deal will be the one to do that.
What do you say to naysayers, Sam, about the Green New Deal? What would you like to say to naysayers about it?
Well, you know, this is a country that we went to the moon in less than a decade. We've been able to do a variety of large challenges, meet those challenges. I think that it's clear that if we put our mind to it and put special interests aside and put the people first, that there is no challenge we can't overcome.
On a somewhat related note, again, we're talking with Delegate Sam Rasool. The Virginia State Air Pollution Control Board, which I guess is part of DEQ, they've approved the regulation, Sam, to reduce and cap carbon dioxide emissions from large fossil-fueled electric power generating facilities. And this regulation aims to reduce carbon emissions from these facilities by 30% by 2030. Virginia will become the 12th state in the nation and the first southern state to regulate carbon pollution. Do you see that as a step in the right direction? And how do you prevent something like this from becoming a political football?
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that even 30 years ago, we had Republicans who were talking clearly about why that climate change was a reality and why we needed to address it. I think fossil fuel interests started putting a lot of money in the pockets of people like me for us to start to change our tone. And to me, it's clear that this shouldn't be a political football that we pass back and forth. We should come up with a climate action plan, which is what I've asked Virginia to do, and this clearly can be part of that.
So do you see this as a step in the right direction, this recent announcement?
Yes, it's certainly a step in the right direction.
All right. Somewhat along those lines, getting back to General Assembly, Governor Northam's veto of a bill that would have eliminated Virginia's ability to participate in regional market-based climate change agreements was upheld. Why was that a good thing, and what is a market-based climate change agreement?
Yeah, that bill would have prevented us. Essentially, REGI, which is what you described earlier, where we come together in a region like the Mid-Atlantic region, these states come together and say, you know what, we're going to tackle our pollution as a team, and we're going to find a market-based solution. Maybe that's through a cap-and-trade solution. This bill would have prevented us from doing that, so his veto allowed for us to continue to try to figure out if that makes sense for Virginia.
On the other side of the coin, what was the argument for saying that we should not take a regional approach? Was it the theory that we shouldn't be beholden to another state?
That's right. So when you have any type of regional agreement, you're clearly going to work with other states in a bit of a pact. And, of course, some folks will say, well, no, Virginia should just do its own thing.
Okay. We're talking with Delegate Sam Rasool, talking about some General Assembly and veto session items, and you recently put up a Facebook post, which is the reason I dragged in here, top wins for Virginia, Sam, and let's start with the amendment that establishes a fuels tax and higher truck registration fees that could create $150 million annually for improvements to I-81, and do you see this also as being leveraged for up to $2 billion in bonds, as some suggest for some real road work, and why was this amendment important?
Yeah, I think it was critical. There was no perfect way to be able to fund the improvements to 81, but in a bipartisan way, the chambers, business interests, citizens up and down 81 said, we've got to do something. And I'm really happy that we found a solution that didn't lean on tolls, which I know a lot of folks were interested in. And this way, we are able to bring in just enough money to be able to use that money to go and borrow the $2.2 billion to make those critical improvements up and down the I-81 corridor. So I'm glad we were able to get that done in a bipartisan way.
You know, this has been kicked around for many years, Sam, money for I-81 and other interstates. What do you think was the tipping point this year? Was it an economic development issue or what?
I think the tipping point was that we were part of the incentives, the overall package was to be able to provide incentives to other interstates across Virginia, and that allowed there to be enough political appetite to get this bill passed.
Let's move on. Again, we're talking with Delegate Sam Rasool from the Roanoke area. The license suspension policy, ending it for those with unpaid court debts for more than 600,000 Virginians. It does not include people who have lost their license for DUIs. Why did it make sense for the governor to say, hey, or the General Assembly, you know, we're going to end this policy and let these people go to work?
Yeah, we, through the budget, we've come up with a temporary solution. We will need legislation later on. But, you know, why are we punishing people through their driver's license? I think that we've got to be able to find a better way of approaching some of the issues that have been facing us and not doing that through suspending people's driver's license.
Part of the theory there is if you can't get to work, you can't pay the court costs.
Yeah, it's really a draconian way of approaching it. And I'm glad that the General Assembly finally said, hey, this doesn't make sense. Someone can't owes certain fees, so we're going to suspend their driver's license, and then, of course, they are not able to make certain income.
All right, it's 8:51 at WFIR in studio, 11th District Delegate Sam Rasool. And Sam, did the scandals involving Governor Northam and Lieutenant Governor Jester Fairfax seem to have much impact on the General Assembly session, perhaps how lawmakers on both sides of the aisle interacted, or the dialogue on amendments with the governor, for example, did it affect what went on during the session?
I think a little bit around women's reproductive rights and around racial equity. There's certainly a lot more conversation that needs to be happening around racial and economic inequities across Virginia. So we saw that. But largely, for the most part, while the headlines said one thing, we conducted pretty much business as usual, trying to get the work of the people done. When you have around 2,500 bills, we had a lot of budgetary items that we needed to address. So overall, it was from a policy perspective, it was a pretty good General Assembly session.
We'll talk with Sam Rasool, delegate. The governor's veto of a health care plan that would have created catastrophic plans, Sam, with lower premiums, but they would have had high deductibles and limited coverage. Why was that a win for Virginians, as you put it on Facebook? And what would have such a plan meant for other healthcare people?
Well, two major things. There are all these bills that are coming through that want to improve upon, quote unquote, improve upon the ACA. And I get it. There are improvements that definitely need to be made, but they're trying to create so-called skinny plans. And three things to keep in mind with those: they attack something called essential health benefits. And those are pieces that we have agreed as a nation that those are important to be in every health plan. And so we do not want to undermine those. The other big thing is pre-existing conditions. And to be able to discriminate against those with pre-existing conditions is an issue. And then the other two kind of pieces of that are prescription drugs and maternity care. So, you know, if you put these bills through that say, hey, we can discriminate against certain folks, that really undermines the whole spirit of the ACA.
Now, this was the first year for Medicaid expansion in Virginia?
January 1 okay. Began Medicaid expansion, and of the approximately 400,000 people that we believe to be eligible for Medicaid expansion, about 270,000 have already been signed up.
I'm wondering if you've heard any complaints or calls, say this needs to be tweaked next year, anything like that in the General Assembly?
No, we haven't heard any complaints thus far. You know, largely these are working families who have been unable to either afford what's happening on the out there in the private exchange. They don't make enough to qualify for the federal exchange. So this was a much needed win, and I'm glad that so many people, including tens of thousands just here in the greater Roanoke Valley, are going to be benefiting from this.
We're talking with Delegate Sam Rasool. Let's move on. The governor upheld, also upheld was the governor's veto of a bill that would have granted concealed carry permits to out-of-state residents in Virginia if the Virginia State Police could not complete their applications within 90 days. You agree with upholding that veto, and why was this a public safety issue, perhaps?
I think just making sure that we clearly understand how concealed carry rules are working, and this one in particular, when we're talking about trying to the reciprocity and recognizing certain out-of-state permits, many of them do not uphold Virginia law. They don't really meet our criteria. So just making sure that we've got a standardized way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. A couple minutes left. I wanted to ask you, were there certain vetoes of the governor, Sam, were there any that you would have liked to have seen overturned?
No. It seemed like his vetoes. So this governor has used his veto pen less than the previous governor. And in particular, I think that Governor Northam has done his best as far as with regards to vetoes and amendments to try not to veto bills, to try to work with both sides of the aisle to find amendments that allow for him to try to get the bill passed. So we've all tried to work as much as we can with both sides.
Hmm. I'm talking with Delegate Sam Rasool. Just a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, you gave kudos to constituents, advocacy groups, and fellow legislators on bills that you sponsored, Sam, that made it to the governor's desk. Is there anything in particular that you sponsored or co-sponsored that made it to the governor's desk that you're really proud of this year?
Well, one thing in particular that we've talked about is this concept of community schools. And what happens with community schools is imagine a school campus where you've got a primary care clinic or a dentist office or a social worker's office there on the campus of the school. And this is happening in other states. And what I want Virginia to do is to be able to think about the schools of the future. So the language that I've been pushing forward is integrated into the new budget, and I'm glad that we'll try to find more innovative ways of approaching our schools.
Now, I remember you talked about this, I think, last year. So that would this fund putting, what, counselors or what on public school campuses?
So there are two sides to community schools. One is the capital side. So what does it actually look like? You're going to actually have a clinic there, just like going to any other doctor's office, and you can go there and you give them your insurance card, et cetera, but it's very accessible. The other side is the case management. And so there being case managers there on campus to connect students and families with services throughout the community. So bringing that all together. Separately, we did pass a bill to improve the counselor to student ratio. Several schools here in Roanoke City and Roanoke County struggle with that, not having enough counselors for sure in the schools.
Hmm. Got about 30 seconds if I wanted to ask you. You've been through how many General Assembly sessions now?
This is my sixth session.
Okay, so how would you characterize this section, the tenor in Richmond, what you got done versus some of the other sessions you've been in?
Yeah, it's interesting because the right now the General Assembly is almost a 50-50 split. And so you find people, I think, definitely more interested in trying to find bipartisan solutions. And I really enjoy that approach.
All right. Democratic Delegate Sam Rasool from the 11th District talking about the veto session and then General Assembly. And Sam, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.